I said to Petey, I said, it's a whole lot easier once you get started. So I guess this way I don't have to wait as long because I'm on right now. Get my stuff organized here. I'm actually going to have some help with this as well. I appreciate all the volunteers that volunteered because I went and asked them and kind of said that they were going to be helping me today. Last week, Jody kind of gave an introduction of why do we call Good Friday good. And when we went to Winter Jam, the song leader of 10th Avenue North had shared this question. And the question reigned in my mind ever since of why. And I'm a little bit stubborn. I'm kind of like children at some times. And usually by the time that God tells me something about the third time, I realize that I should probably really follow through with it. And it's not just me thinking that I should do something. So that's why I'm here today. I went and asked Pastor Womer if I could share this message. Because after Winter Jam, it kept running through my mind as far as things that were going on in the past in my life and things that are going on now. So why do we call Good Friday good? It's a question that we can think of in our minds. Now, I want to be real with you today. Do you guys want me to be real when I share this message today? All right. Now, I'm going to ask something else. If I'm going to be real standing up here, I want each one of you that's sitting in the seats to be real as well. Will you guys be real with me, with yourself, and with God this morning? Can I get... Now, see, you guys aren't as confident about that. See, you guys were all real confident when you said, yeah, Wayne, you can be real. You can stand in front of all of us, and you can share, and you can be real, and I want to hear it. But when I asked if you guys are going to be real with me, I didn't get quite the same response. Now, if I'm real and you're not, at the end of this, it's going to look really strange. So, I'm going to ask again. Can I get you guys to be real with yourself, with me, and with God?
Amen.
Okay, now, my first volunteers are going to be Trent, April, and Janessa. They're going to pass out a little piece of paper to everybody. Take at least one and a pen. So if you don't have a pen, we have them. So there's no excuse. You're going to get a piece of paper and you're going to get a pen. Now, while I am speaking, I am going to share some things, personal things in my life. While I am sharing these things and it reflects in your mind of things that have happened to you, I want you to write it down on that piece of paper. I don't want any names on the pieces of paper. I just want you to write down whatever comes to mind, whatever struggles, tragedies, maybe temptations that you're battling right now. I want you to write them on that piece of paper throughout the service. Okay, I'm not going to make any of you others that haven't volunteered get up out of your seat. So, okay, you can relax. I'm not going to make you come up front. Okay, everybody understand what you're going to do. All right. Now I have to share a little bit more about this week. Last Sunday, I went to Roger and I said, can I share this message? He said, sure, you can have the platform, you can share it. So Monday morning, I wake up, and I start to get sick. By Tuesday evening, when I came home from work, I had 24 and a half hours into my working week and starting to get sick. So I decided at this time that I had to have a little discussion. I had to tell Satan, you know what? You need to get back. Because I am coming Sunday. I am going to share this message that the Lord has laid on my heart. Because I feel the people that are here are going to be here to hear this message. Not because it's my message. Not because it's Mike Donahue that started the idea and the thought. It's not because it's his, but because it's God's word to his people. So I need to start today, I think. Does everybody, I think in the back corner there yet, they're still passing out. Trent, if you want to help over in the back corner. All right. But before I get really started here on the message, let me open up with a word of prayer because I can't do this on my own. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you have given me. Give me the courage to share the words that you have put on my heart. Lord, help to open up the hearts and souls of the people that are sitting here in your congregation today, Lord. Help them to be real with you, with themselves, and with me. Lord, I just pray that this message would go home with them and it would reign in their hearts and souls, not just today, but in weeks and weeks to come, that every year when Good Friday comes around, that we know why we call Good Friday good. Lord, I just ask that you would be with me. Give me the words to speak. Lord, I pray that every word that I would speak would be honor and pleasing to you, that your will would be done here in this service today, Lord. And we thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I have to find where I'm at in my notes. All right, the thought, why do we call Good Friday good? Good. Think about it. Why do we do that? I don't want you to answer, but just to think about, why do we call Good Friday good? I'm going to start this with his story that led to the song, I Have This Hope. One of them in the band, his name's Jeff. His sister-in-law, Ferris, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, a rare cancer. They were shocked at 32 years old and 3 kids. She was healthy, serving the Lord. Why her? To have a chance to survive, the doctors thought she should head to England for experimental treatments. It would be a year of very intense treatments. And as she was getting ready to go to England, the band had gathered together. They were actually going to write a song. It was Jeff and the lead singer, Mike Donahue, that had gathered and another dear friend of theirs to write a song for their recording. Instead, when they gathered together, they got this news of Ferris and her stage 4 cancer and not very good hope. They kind of became a little bit bitter at God. Why? She's serving the Lord, seems to be doing things right, but yet this tragedy has hit the family. Kind of brought shock and tears to the band. And during that time, they decided they would write, I Have This Hope, is the song they wrote, just for her, hoping that it would help her get through her treatments to realize that she had hope in God. So they wrote that song and they gave it to her. When things like this come, sometimes we get mad at God. We wonder, why is this happening to me or to my family? We feel we are being punished. We think this, why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? He shared that story with us while we were at Winter Jam. And I thought about it afterwards. I thought about it in the Bible. Some that faced unfair times or sickness and why. First, I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told that they must bow down to a golden image or be thrown into the fiery furnace. They were already in captivity. They were serving the Lord, and yet they had a decision to make. Would they bow down to this golden image or be thrown into a fiery furnace? What a choice you would have. An unfair choice by all human standards. to be faced with a choice such as this. I continued to think, and I thought of Job, a good godly man, and Satan comes and wants to tempt him. He talks to God and says, you know, he only serves you because of all that you've blessed him with. And God gives him the option to take all that away. He was tested. He lost his oxen, his sheep, his camels, his children. All of those things as messengers kept coming and saying, this is gone. Now this is gone. Just news after news of all these things that had went wrong, that he had lost pretty well everything. Then his health is attacked because he still didn't give in and deny God. So next, Satan attacks his health. And after that, his wife turns on him. His friends that come to counsel him that think, oh, we're just doing such a great job, but yet they turn on him as well. They figure he must have done something wrong to anger God that he would be punished like this. And then I continued to think in the weeks since Winter Jam, I thought of other ones, a child being born blind, Stephen being stoned, Paul and his afflictions, and many others in the Bible that we can see how they faced unfair trials. And the problem with the distance between Winter Jam and now is I had a lot of time to think. So a lot of time to think means a lot of things to share. The first ones are pretty easy because the first one was a story that the lead singer had shared. Didn't really touch me. I shouldn't say it didn't touch me. It didn't personally affect me because I don't know the lady. I don't know the singer. I think it's the first time I've ever seen him. He got up in front and shared it, and yeah, it's a touching story, but it's not a personal story because I don't know this lady. I don't know her husband. I don't know her children. And then when I looked at the stories in the Bible, it's kind of the same thing. I've heard these stories over and over and over again. I think sometimes we even become numb to them. We kind of forget the application that it applies. And then as I was driving up and down the road, I know some of the truck drivers and stuff, you can relate to this. When you spend a lot of time on the road, it gives you either a lot of time to think or time for God to talk to you. Sometimes you got to be careful that you don't get too involved in that and forget that you're on the road and driving. But I do a lot of driving with my job. I drive pretty well all over Pennsylvania, so there's times that I put a lot of miles on the truck. And while I was doing this, God started to relate other stories, not Bible stories, not stories that somebody else shared. Instead, he started sharing stories of pain and suffering in my life that I thought were unfair. Things that brought in my life anger. Sometimes that I was mad at God because I thought it was unfair. And then every time I would think of these things, I would think, but yet I call Good Friday good. Why would I call Good Friday good? But yet every time I think of these things that have happened in my past, I think of them as being bad. So I really had to do some personal checking in the weeks here past. So I started thinking of these hard things in my life. The things that I felt were unfair. The things that I couldn't understand why they were happening to me. And I went back to the third grade. It was the end of the third grade and going into the fourth grade, or during the third grade year. My teachers felt that I just wasn't quite performing in school like I should be. So they tested me, and they found out that I had a learning disability. At the end of third grade, I had a choice, or the family had a choice. I could either go to a different school to have special classes, or I could repeat the third grade. And they weren't really sure if that would help, but they really thought I needed these separate classes. So I had to change and go to a different school so that I could have these special classes. Because I can't spell. I have very poor reading and comprehension. That's why I hate to read. I have oftentimes said it. People will tell me I just have to find the right book and I will like it. And every one of them, I say, you really shouldn't lie to me. Because I haven't found one that I like to read. I've read the Bible from front to back. Because I challenged myself after hearing something that I would do it. I think it only took me 4 years to do it. But I kept at it. And there was times that I really struggled because I read it and I have no idea what it said. But I knew that I challenged myself to do it, however poor I can at reading, that I would still do it. And I struggled with this through school because I just can't pick that stuff up. It doesn't seem to matter how much I try to spell words right, it just doesn't come out. I got picked on when I was in school. Most would probably say it was bullying now because that's the big thing. But it was just normal. I had to go to these special classes and kids like to make fun of that. I'd have tests that I'd take in maybe history class and the teacher a different aide would come in and have to read it to me so I could try and pass the test. And I think now, you know, as an older gentleman, you would think that for the most part, I've learned how to get over it, to live with it. I can hide it. Most of you don't even know it. You might even be shocked. Here I am standing in front of you and yet have this disability and you probably didn't know it. But it's that bad that Veronica is 10 years old in fourth grade and she can outspell me any day of the week. Janessa is in kindergarten and she ain't too far behind me. And there's times I just struggle with that. I struggle with, God, why did you make me this way? Why can I not do these simple things? And sometimes I think, God, you have quite the humor. Because I wasn't a very good student. A lot of times I turned to anger when I was in school because I didn't do well. And if kids wanted to pick on me, they better be bigger than me, or I was going to show them a different way. But now I have two girls that are very brilliant. And I think, God, you really had a sense of humor because, or else he was just providing for them because they're not going to come to their dad and ask for help when it comes to spelling or reading. I went through all of high school and never did a book report. I never did one. One, because I'd probably still be reading the book, and two, I wouldn't remember what I read. And then I continued on from that story. The next one in my life that made a huge impact was February 26, 1994. It's a date that probably means nothing to any of you. But I can remember that day. I was out in our yard, something you don't see too much. A young 14, 15-year-old man out playing outside. I didn't have no electronics or phones or anything at that time, so I was out and I was playing in the yard. I was a volunteer firefighter at that time, and while I was in the yard, life flight went over the sky. And I thought, wow, I wonder where that accident or whatever was, because we didn't get called to it or anything, and seeing life flight go through the sky, and thought, didn't think much more of it. Until just a couple days after that. I realized in that life flight, in that helicopter, was one of my best friends. He had moved away not too long before that. I think it was about a year and a half. He had moved away and went to a different school. Him and some buddies were out running around. He was 16 at the time. His buddy was driving too fast. Didn't make it around the corner. My best friend was thrown out of that vehicle and pinned underneath the vehicle. Later to find out that he had passed away. And I thought about how unfair it is. Only 16. So much of life to live yet. But God was still watching. God knew it happened. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. And then after that, in my life, another problem started to come. I started to get a little older. I started dating my wife, April, right here in this church we met. We started dating, and you wouldn't believe the amount of people that just thought she was crazy. Why would she date him? You know, that's pretty hard. I really do have feelings. Because it wasn't just one person that thought that. It wasn't just two people that thought that. There was at least three people that were honest about it and just thought there was no way. One said that it wasn't going to happen. And we've been married 18 years now. But it hurts to hear those things because you think, what did I do that was so wrong that these people had this opinion of me? I actually, one lady after years, and I didn't know that she was one that just thought this was so terrible that April and I were dating and then eventually got married. And she came to me one time after church and said, I have to talk to you. I'm like, oh, okay. So she talks to me and she says, I got to apologize to you. Like, you have to apologize to me. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know that you have ever done anything to me, said anything to me. She said, well, I just thought it was a terrible thing when April and you started dating. I thought you were a terrible guy. I have to apologize for the thoughts that I had. And I thought, boy, what am I doing that's so bad? What have I done that people think this of me? And I thought, this isn't fair. How can this be? How can I be treated so unfair? How can people think this of me that I've never done anything to them? But yet they have this opinion of me. And sometimes when those things come, it would be easy just to pack up and walk out those doors and give up. And after this, April and I, we got married. We served as youth leaders, and we still serve as youth leaders. I was also on the church board. I was vice president for many years and still served as president at some time through there and still have. But while I was youth leader, vice president, and on the board of the church, I really felt I was serving the Lord, and I was doing everything that I should. I thought I was doing everything that God was calling me to do. And we were married for quite a few years. When we first got married, my great-grandfather lived with us. We bought his farm. He had passed away by this time, and things were going pretty good. We were serving the Lord. I had a decent job. We finally decided it was time to add to our family and have a child. Seems like the right thing to want. We've been married for a while. We're a Christian family, and it seems like that's what we should be doing in our time in our life. So we finally decided that we were going to have a child, that we were prepared for this child. We thought we could afford a child and everything like that, and we decided now's the time. Excuse me. But it wasn't time. For whatever reason, God said no. For the next 2 years. And in that 2 years, there was times that we heard of people that got pregnant that didn't want a child. You know how hard it is to want to have a child and not be able to, and you hear of somebody else that doesn't want a child. The boyfriend up and leaves, and here we are, we're serving the Lord, and yet no child. For 2 years. We even heard of a girl having an abortion. God, why would you do that? Why would you allow that girl to become pregnant just to end that life? And yet here I am serving you. And I can't have a child that you say is a great blessing. And I'll be honest, it was hard. That was probably the hardest 2 years of my life. And there was times that it just didn't seem right. What was I doing wrong? Why, Lord? Finally, after 2 years, we were able to have a child. We were blessed with a beautiful girl. And you would think after that, that would be the end of that struggle. We have a very healthy child. Veronica is very healthy. Both of our girls are. I couldn't ask for better children. But along that way, after having Veronica, we decided it was time to have a child again. And I can tell you, I sure didn't want to go through it another 2 years like we did the first time. But afterwards, I'm not too sure if I want to went back and waited 2 years instead. Because the next time around, April had a miscarriage. I have a child that I've never met that I'll have to wait until heaven to be able to hold and see my child. I don't know why God felt that was the way it was supposed to be. It's hard to deal with sometimes. I know many of you have lost children as well that you did hold and did live with. As I was preparing to do this lesson, I wanted to go and find out the exact date of my friend's passing. I haven't been back to the graveyard in all those years. And I was 14 at the time, going on 15, and I kind of thought I knew where the cemetery was. So I hopped in my car Friday and I went to drive to find it. Well, it wasn't the first place I looked. It wasn't the second place I looked. I really had a good idea of where it was. I wasn't even sure what the church name was, so I didn't want to search the church and head in the wrong direction. I finally found the cemetery and I went and looked and I just stood there and pondered and thought, what his life would be like if he was here today. And then as I was walking through the cemetery, I was kind of looking at different gravestones and things, and there was these four that caught my eye. And I walked over to look at these four, and they were just little stones. They were just like this, and they were all right in a row. They were pretty old stones. And I went over to look at them, and you couldn't hardly read them. I looked at the first one, and I'm not sure what the name was because you couldn't really make the name out, but it was an infant of these parents. Survived for only days. And I moved over to the next one, and I looked at that. And the next one survived for, I think it was a couple years, like 2 years, a couple months, and so many days. And I moved over just a little bit farther and looked at the next one. And sure enough, it was another child to the same family at a different time. And I moved over to the last one and I looked at that. And sure enough, it was another child. And it wasn't all from the same accident because it was all different days that they had passed away. Now this was from like early 1900s, late 1800s. So the parents have long gone as well. But boy, can you imagine losing four children? Can you imagine the grief that they had? To feel how unfair it was. And I think in my own life, how, when I look at it, how unfair it was. That for 2 years we had to wait, and then having a miscarriage, and then being blessed with another daughter. I look at some of those things and I think they're so unfair, and how can this be? And then God reminds me now, you say all those things are bad, but you look at Good Friday and call it good. Throughout lots of these things in my life, I got angry about them. I would blame myself. I would even blame God. I would question God. I would ask what I'm doing wrong or what I must do to correct it. Because in my eyes, my main job is a mechanic. I repair stuff. I look at it, it's broken, and I fix it. Sometimes it takes a new part, sometimes I can fix the part that's there. But that's what I do. And oftentimes I look at life in the same way. I look at God and I say, God, this is broke, now fix it. Because I know even when I can't fix it, God can. But it seems so many times throughout life, it's broke. I take it to God, and He don't fix it when I want Him to. I have a hard time waiting for God's timing. There's some things, when I look at it through my eyes, it's too late to fix. When I look at my friend that died in that car accident, it's too late. When I look at it through humans' eyes, I look at it and think there's no good in it. I think it's too late, God. So now that I've shared with you guys my hurts, I have other hurts that I've gone through life. Now what I want you to do is pull that piece of paper out. I want you to write on that piece of paper the hurts that you have, the things maybe that you have gone through in your life that you think are unfair. I want you to be honest. Now, I know it took some persuasion for me to tell you and to convince you that you were going to be honest with yourself. But if you really want to change, that's where it has to start. You need to be honest with yourself. Because I know there's not a single person here that hasn't gone through some kind of struggle that you felt was unfair. Maybe it was losing a child. Maybe it was losing a parent. Maybe it was a disability that you were born with that you think is unfair. Maybe it's the way you were treated growing up, the way your parents treated you, your father, your mother. Maybe your father and mother ran out on you. We all have struggles that we went through. Things that we think are unfair. Maybe it was divorce. Maybe it's the way that somebody treated you while you were in school or in the workplace. Maybe it was a work position that you thought you deserved and never got. Maybe it always seemed you were pushed aside. And I want you to write those things down on that piece of paper. I want you to make sure that you write something on that piece of paper. I don't want you to put anybody's name down if it was somebody that hurt you growing up, or maybe they just hurt you recently. I don't want you to put down their name and say, Wayne did this to me. I don't want you to do that. I want you to just write down that you were hurt by words that somebody said. I don't want anybody's names on these papers because, yes, we are going to collect them. Because this is going to have a lot to do with why we call Good Friday good. And I want you all to be able to be a part of that. So that's why I'm giving you time to write these papers, because I see some pens that are moving and I see some people that are thinking, do I really have to do this? And yes, you do, because right here in this sanctuary, you told me you would be honest with yourself, you would be honest with me, and you would be honest with God. Now, I shared my stories, and you guys all heard them straight from me. Yes, I'm going to collect these papers, and I'm going to have the girls come up here, and they're going to write them on the board. And that's why I don't want anybody's names on the paper. I'm going to have Trent and April, and I think Janessa is going to come, and they're going to help collect these papers. You were honest with yourself and with me and with God, and now I don't feel as foolish being up here and sharing. I would have really felt foolish, and I can tell you, there's a little bit of anxiety that if I shared all these things and passed out these papers and we collected them and there was nothing on them and we put them on the board, how foolish I would have felt. Because sometimes it's hard to be honest in front of other Christians. It's hard to be honest that we are struggling and going through battles in our lives because we want to show and think that life is supposed to be perfect because we're Christians. A lot of times we wait until we have overcome different struggles to be able to share them. We don't mind sharing our testimony when we've overcome something because we're victorious. But most Christians really struggle when they're going through the battle. When they're failing to temptation and failing in other things and angry about stuff, We have a hard time opening up and sharing about those things. We have a hard time overcoming and sharing those hurts that we have, that we carry in our hearts and in our souls because of maybe something that somebody else has done. And one thing I've noticed throughout life is that a lot of times when somebody hurts you and you're still hurt by it, they don't even know they hurt you. It's over and gone for them. They don't even realize what they said hurts you. And yet we hold on to it. While the girls continue to write those things down, I do have a couple of scriptures I'm going to read to you. The first one that I'm going to turn to is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle up upon thee. That scripture is one that the song that Veronica just sang, it's one of the scriptures that they talked, that they took those words to put into their song. One thing about those scriptures, it does not say, I will take you out of the flood. It says, I will take you through the flood. And pretty well every time that I have some kind of thing that comes up in my life, I go to God and I say, God, take me out of this. Because I know you have the power to take this away. And that's what I want. But the scripture here in Isaiah refers much differently. He says, I will take you through the floods. I will take you through the river. It will not sweep you away. You will not be taken under. I will take you through the fire and you will not be burned. That's what the scripture says. A lot of times we don't like that though. We really don't want to go through it. We want God to take it away from us. It's much easier. But it's not God's plan. The next scripture I want to read is Luke chapter 9, verses 22 to 25. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? We are to pick up our cross and follow Jesus daily. We must lose our own life so that we can gain eternal life. We must give up what we want and surrender to God's will. Jesus went to the cross willingly. But before that, in the garden, he didn't really want to. Because he cried out to the Lord and said, if it's possible, take this cup away. He didn't want to go through the pain because he was 100% man. If you think of the pain that he was willing to go through to hang on that cross, as Petey said, those nails weren't there to hold him on that cross. Because one, if my Lord and Savior wanted to get off that cross, he had the power to get off even if he was nailed fast. Those nails didn't hold him there. What held him there was his obedience to the Father. That's what held him there on that cross. Because he knew God's plan was much better than anything that he was going to do otherwise. He knew that he needed to follow God's plan through the flood, through the fire. Whatever it was, Jesus needed to go through it and was willing to because his Father called him to. Another scripture I want to read to you is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we do things our own way, we won't find rest. Oh, we might still go to bed at night, but there's a lot of times that we can go to bed and we still don't get rest. I'm going to tell you, last night I didn't get much rest because I was excited to come and share and I was nervous to come and share. And I just had all these different feelings. I had all these different things. What if people don't understand what I'm trying to share? But I see from the boards, I'm not the only one that needed to hear this. We all have those struggles. We all need to hear that God is going to see us through. So why do these bad things happen to good people? Why do we call Good Friday good? When the worst thing that happened to the best man ever, why would we call that Good Friday? I can't think of much of a worse way to die than to hang on a cross and to slowly suffer and drown in your own body. I can't think of much worse way to suffer. All right. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't getting ahead of myself. Going back through these stories, some of these stories have happy endings. First one I started with was Ferris with her stage 4 cancer. Said it was going to be intensive treatments for a year. The day that they went to record the song, I Have This Hope, Ferris and her husband said, "We want to be there in the studios the day that you record that song. Because we have listened to it every day and it has given us hope. And we want to come and be in studio that day that you record that song." So they showed up, they're there, they're at the recording studio and they're getting ready to record this song, and Ferris's phone rings. Now, this is 3 months after she has started her treatments, and it's the hospital on the other line of the phone. They had called to inform her that her cancer was in remission. They thought it would be at least a year of intense treatments that she would even have a chance. And 3 months into it, her cancer was gone. The stories I shared of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see how God seen them through the fire. He didn't leave them, but they did get cast into the fire. We can see the great outcome, but if they were never tempted, if they were never challenged and told, if you don't bow down to these idols, if they were never told those things, we wouldn't have the great faith that they had as far as a story to look back upon, to encourage us when we are going through the fire to know that Jesus is right there with us. The same as he was right there in the fiery furnace with those three young men. In Job chapter 42, Job is blessed with more than he ever had before. Even though all those things were taken away from him, he was blessed with even more. My friend's death. I have a hard time saying that death of a friend is good. I don't mean that to sound evil or hateful. But see, there's something that happened after that day. And it happened to me. Because see, I realized that if my friend could die at 16, what guarantee did I have? And I didn't know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior at that time. I had gone to church. I knew about God. I knew about Christ. And I had all the knowledge, basically, that I needed. But by no means was I living for the Lord at that time in my life. And in my bedroom, I realized that, you know what, Lord? If I would do something foolish, as my friend did, of tearing around in vehicles that, well, we're boys, we all do that at 16. Sometimes my wife yells at me because I do it now at a little older than 16. And I wanted to know that I would go to heaven. I had no desire of serving the Lord at 16. I wanted to live my life and I just wanted to know that, God, if I did something stupid and I died, I would go to heaven. And that was the start of my walk with Christ. I don't know if I would have taken those first steps if it wasn't for my friend's death. Because it was so real to me at that time that tomorrow isn't guaranteed. So I started to take that first step, not that I became some great Christian at that time, but now I stand here in front of you, preaching to you and you guys all listening to me. What a big change it was, but you know, if my friend's death didn't happen, I don't know that I would be here today. My learning disability seems kind of strange for a person that doesn't read. Terrible speller. If you looked at my notes, other than my wife seeing my writing quite a bit, she's probably the only one that can read it. Sometimes I can't even read it myself. And you think, well, why can I come up here and do this? Because when I come up here, I rely 100% on God. Because I know if I would come up here on my own power, I wouldn't do it. When I come and I speak and I share in the youth room, I have to do it 100% on God because I just can't do it. There is so many times I study the youth lesson and I have to pull a dictionary out so I can know what the word means. Because I struggle with that and I read the dictionary and I still don't know what the word means. I have a hard time comprehending. And sometimes I wonder, as hard as I struggle with it, how do other people get something out of it? Because I have to rely on God. And if I didn't have that disability, I probably wouldn't. I am very blessed. I feel that I'm a very good mechanic. And you know, there's a lot of times I really don't rely on God for that. God blessed me with that. But sometimes I forget that it's still because of God. And I think I can just do it because I'm me. When it comes to speaking and reading, I never think it's because of me. I know it is 110% God and not me. And that's why most of the time I have to wait until God tells me like 3 times because I'm a slow learner. It's just like kids. Sometimes you got to yell at them 1 time and tell them supper's ready. And then you got to tell them a 2nd time that supper's ready. And by the 3rd time, usually you start getting a little angry. And I'm not sure, maybe God gets angry at me sometimes as well because I'm stubborn. And I don't want to come up here and be a fool. So I really have to make sure that it's God wanting me here. I have been blessed with 2 very wonderful girls. They both serve the Lord. And I'm very blessed in that. The different things that people had said about me, about not being a very good person, or wondering why my wife would date me or marry me. So many times that made me a better person. I looked at myself to see what it was that these people were seeing that I don't know, maybe I hid from myself or hid from others. If it was not for the hard and the bad times, I wouldn't be who I am. Can't say I'd want to go back. I know there's people that say, boy, I just wish I could go back to high school, and boy, I'd learn so much more, and I'd put so much more into it, and I'm not one of them. I hated school, and I hate it today. I get frustrated just going over to the school for my daughter's parent-teacher conferences, and it's always good news. And I still don't like going through those doors. I think it just brings back trauma in my mind when I walk through those doors because I hated school. And when I hear people say, boy, I just wish I could go back to those days, I'm like, wow, I wouldn't ever go back to those days. My girls are very good students. They're straight A's. They're everything in school that I'm not. They go wanting to learn, and how amazing it is. So why? Why do we call Good Friday good? Shared a lot of things there to get back to the same question that we started with. So why do we call Good Friday good? Because we know what happened on Sunday. We can say it was Good Friday because of Sunday. Jesus died and overcame the grave so that we can be free. Jesus going to the cross wipes away all our sins. Jesus going to the cross wipes away the sins. And you know what? It doesn't matter what these things are. Jesus wipes them away. He makes us whole again, no matter how imperfect we are. No matter what we've faced, what trials, what hardship, Jesus going to the cross on Good Friday wipes all these things away. There is nobody else, no other way on this earth that can wipe them all away. Doesn't matter what you try to get rid of them. There is nothing else that'll do it. Except Jesus Christ going to the cross. Because Him going to the cross and dying on that cross willingly to wipe away our sins, He's also there to be able to say, I know how you feel. I am right here beside you walking through that flood. I am right here beside you walking through the fire. It's still fearful. We see the flames and the water rising and we're scared. But we know that Jesus Christ is right there beside us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Amen. If we keep our eyes on all the problems, we won't walk. If I look back and I say, well, this happened and this happened and that happened and I have this problem and I can't do that, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to do it because I talked myself out of it. Because I go by what I see. But if I change and I walk by faith and forget about what I see and go by faith alone, I can truly walk the straight and narrow path. When flames are there beside me and the floods are beside me, I can walk that path. We can know no matter what we are going through, Jesus will walk it through with us.